Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking all things NFL, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend John McClain from HoustonTexans.com. John also joins Chase and Big Joe every Wednesday morning at 9:30. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Robbie and Joe. How are y'all?
We are really great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. John, let's start with the Texans. How has Stephon Diggs fit into this point? What have you heard and seen about just the way that he's fitting in and the weapons that C.J. Stroud has at his disposal on offense this year? How electric do you think that offense can be?
Well, first of all, let me start with Diggs. There have been two instances in which people not here, not at practice, or not at the game have roasted him for, they say, doing the same things he did in Buffalo. One of them was on the sideline, in which he hadn't been in the game, and Stroud came over, and he was talking to Stroud about what he'd seen, and he does this all the time in practice, like helps, almost like helps coach him. It's not about him individually. And Stroud and Diggs have become really close. They worked out all over the world. At one point, they were in Paris, showed him working out at a high school. And Diggs has been really good. And when he went to Minnesota and Buffalo, he was great. There were no issues. And then the issues, of course, when he wanted the ball and he didn't feel like he was getting it enough. And another one was a fight in which Diggs reached in to pull a guy out, and it got out. Diggs doing the same thing he did in Buffalo. He might, but he hasn't been so far. And they've got really explosive receivers. If they can keep them healthy, their offense, the Joe Mixon been out a long time. He's the starting running back. Damian Pierce is number two. The only new starting job they have that was in question going into camp was left guard, and that's been solidified by a former first-round pick, Kenyon Green. And all the questions are on defense because Texans played that last-play schedule last season, took advantage of it. You know, the AFC South played the NFC South, worst division in football. Their crossover game was Arizona here. Now they're playing a first-place schedule, five division champions, crossover games at Dallas, 11 games against teams that had winning records, a murderer's row of quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Tua Tagovailoa, the division quarterbacks. Plus, they're going to get Caleb Williams and probably Drake May later in the season. I think they play at Minnesota too early for us to see the Texans against J.J. McCarthy. But the only one they won't play against is Daniels at Washington. And so they've got their hands full on defense. They signed 15 unrestricted free agents on defense. They used five of their nine draft choices on defense. They re-signed five of their defensive free agents because they know this defense has got to be a whole lot better.
So, John, I'm hoping you can put into context this Hassan Reddick situation because I can't remember anything exactly like this. What as you look at that, how do you assess it? Who do you blame?
In 2019, Bill O'Brien, the former Texans head coach and GM, traded two ones and a two for left tackle Laremy Tunsil. And they got some other peripheral pieces. None of them were any good. And Laremy's been really good, but his contract, he needed a new contract. And they didn't have it done ahead of time. And they had to make him the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. And so, but they got it done because they knew coming in he was going to cost a lot of money. Now, Hassan Reddick's not trying to be the highest paid. We haven't seen any numbers that have leaked out. I haven't. But in that situation, you run the risk of a guy holding out. His fines, he's been fined almost $2 million. You know, when you're on your rookie contract, the fines can be forgiven. When you are on a second or more contract, they cannot. So he's going to have that money coming out of his pay when he eventually agrees to get a deal done. I'm guessing right before regular season, they'll sweeten the pot. He'll come in. Remember, they don't start getting paid the big game checks till the week before the season. That's why you see a lot of these deals done. But it definitely is strange, and I'm sure the Cowboys, Giants, and Commanders are loving it because they don't want him to go up against him because he's been one of the top five pass rushers since 2020.
John, how do you see the CeeDee Lamb situation playing out in Dallas? He's not been in camp. Jerry Jones saying last week that there's really no urgency to get it done. Also, you know, they've got the Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott situation to figure out too. But what do you make of what's going on with the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb?
Well, Parsons will be next year, and I think they'll get Lamb done. The Cowboys always have problems with their big contracts. They wait and they wait and they wait. It's like that old Fram Oilfield commercial, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. And it would always have been cheaper for them to do it sooner. They admitted they made a mistake with Dak Prescott coming off his rookie contract when they waited too long. So they'll get the Lamb deal done. I expect it'll be when the big game checks start in 2 weeks. And then some point they'll get Prescott done. Jerry Jones is 81 years old. He doesn't want to start over with another quarterback. Trey Lance isn't the answer. Cooper Rush isn't the answer. So he's going to pay Dak Prescott more money than any player in NFL history, when if he'd done it before, it would have been cheaper because the price of doing business goes up. And since he can't be franchised, he's got Jerry by the footballs, and he's squeezing hard.
Well, let's stick with the theme. Brandon Ayuk and the Niners, John. I just feel like the Niners, the Niners have to win it all this year. They have to win it all this year. I don't see, unless you've got a situation and maybe they feel like they could get Amari Cooper back from Cleveland and plug him in or something, why this makes any sense where they are as a franchise.
I think one thing, since they've traded for Christian McCaffrey, they have run the ball a higher percentage of the time than any team in the league. The running game is really, really important in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So therefore, you know, they took care of Debo Samuel. They've got these tight end. They've got the running back, and the quarterback is coming up. I think they want to get one more year out of Ayuk, and then they trade him. And then Pearsall from Florida, their number one pick this year, he would step in. Or I would be more inclined to keep Ayuk over Debo Samuels because Debo's got a lot of mileage on him because he runs and he catches so much. But I'm guessing they're looking at it, and I don't know how they get this done. They found a way to get everybody else paid. And after this season, they're going to have to pay Purdy. And I'm feeling like Ayuk wants so much money, they will sweeten the pot, do something to give him, to pacify him, because guys don't want to miss time. He's accumulating fines by being out. They'll do something to make him happy for this year, and then he'll be gone. They can't afford to give up a guy like Brandon Ayuk when you got to win the Super Bowl.
John, how do you view the AFC South this season? We know the Texans are going to be the favorite, and deservedly so, but you've got question marks in Anthony Richardson and Will Levis and Indy and here in Nashville. Trevor Lawrence signs the big deal in Jacksonville. How do you view this division heading into the year?
I think every team in the league that was in last place last year, the head coaches are using the Texans as an example of what can happen. This time last year, I picked them to win six games. They started 0-2. I thought, oh, my God, why didn't I pick them to win three again? And then all of a sudden, it just took off. And part of it was the schedule. And it was interesting because they had a first-year head coach, first-year coordinator, play caller, first-year quarterback coach, and, of course, rookie quarterback. And it just all came together. And that last place schedule helps. It should help the Titans as well. And I'll guarantee you, behind the scenes, they're talking about what happened with the Texans, and it can happen to us too. And the key, of course, is Levis. I think Rand Cawthorn, with all the money he had to spend, he spent it wisely. When I look at their offense now compared to 2 years ago, man, what a difference that it's made. It's got to start up front. And, of course, they have one of the best offensive line coaches in history, and Bill Callahan, who is great for advice for his son. And you know his son's going to be asking for it because he's a first-time head coach. He's a first-time play caller. So Can they go worse to first? I saw on the internet yesterday the 33rd team, and they have former NFL people working for them. The team's most likely to go from worst to first. Of course, Cincinnati's going to be number one because Joe Burrow is the healthiest. And they had, I believe, the Titans number two. I thought they might have the Bears higher, and they had them like seventh, and I agree. It's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie quarterback. At this time last year, C.J. Stroud hadn't even been named the starter. We knew he would start, and we were broadcasting and writing it, but D'Amico Ryans wouldn't admit it till way before the season started, where they have anointed him as the star since before he was drafted, and that is a lot of pressure. Put on a quarterback who's going to play on windy days. He's going to play on snowy days. One of the reasons they've never had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns in Chicago is where the stadium's located. It's so windy. Cleveland's only had one 4,000-yard passer in their history because of where the stadium's located. Both of them are on great lakes. Even when it's warm, the wind blows, and that's why they got to run the ball. And so I think Cincinnati won, and why not the Titans trying to close that gap? This time last year, everybody was picking the Jaguars, including me. I bet $100 on my talk show in Houston to one of the hosts. He said, the Jaguars of the field. I said, the Jaguars. I'll take that in a minute. I paid up because I never saw that happening. That's one of the things that makes the NFL so interesting is because of that, because of the development of young quarterbacks like Will Levis. Brian Callahan's got to see what he can do. If he doesn't think he can be the franchise quarterback, then he's got to tell Rand, okay, we got to do something to get a franchise quarterback, and it's going to be difficult. So hopefully Levis, who has everything you want in a quarterback, will be able to take advantage of the situation. I hope DeAndre Hopkins gets back sooner rather than later because he's one of my all-time favorite players. And you'd love to see Burks develop. And for everybody that's down on Burks, this time last year, we said, well, Nico Collins, he flashes in camp and in practice, but, man, he's hurt too much, and he just hadn't done anything. This season's make or break. Then they get a quarterback in there, can throw the ball, and all of a sudden he was fantastic, got a new contract. And I'm not saying that'll happen to Burks. I'm just saying it could happen.
Okay, I got a similar one for you, John. No wager, though. Let's take this rookie class of quarterbacks becoming the best of them, Caleb Williams or the field?
Ooh, that's a great one because I hear all these NFL experts on NFL Network and ESPN and Fox and all of them going on and on about Caleb Williams. Like if Caleb Williams had come out last year, he would have been the first overall pick. And but so many number one picks don't pan out. And where he plays is going to be difficult. I'm going to say the field.
I like it.
Interesting.
John, really appreciate your time this morning. We'll be listening tomorrow on Chase and Big Joe, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us.
Robbie and Joe, my pleasure. Thank you guys very much. Anytime.
Absolutely. Thanks, John McClain, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road from HoustonTexans.com. The legendary John McClain. We'll take your thoughts on what John had to say on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.